Welcome back to Turning Hard Times to Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really pleased to have with me once again Dr. Quentin Henning. He's with me today to talk about Irving Resources and that company's really substantial progress that they're making in Japan. Quentin is a technical advisor for Irving, and he is on the board of directors. Quentin has worked for many years in a couple of different projects with Akiko Levinson. She's the president of Irving Resources. Akiko is a very bright, delightful, soft-spoken lady of Japanese descent who's very, she's just really essential to this company's connections in Japan and all that's going on. And Quentin then provides such wonderful technical advice to Irving, as he does with several other companies. The prospects for Irving in Japan appear very positive, given that it will not need to build a mill to enter production sometime in the future, but it will be able to ship direct ship material to Japanese smelters, which then will do the milling for Irving, and actually give him some value for the silica material that hosts the gold and silver that are in the vein. So this is a very unique project, a really great story, one of my favorites for sure, and it's really great to have Quentin with me. Again, trades in Toronto. Irving trades there under the symbol IRV, IRVRF in the U.S., 58 million shares outstanding. I saw a little earlier today, $1.89 in U.S. money, giving a market cap of around $110 million. Thanks for joining me again, Quentin.
Thank you, Jay.
You know, just for the sake of some of our listeners that maybe haven't heard of Irving before, could you just tell us a little bit about where the project is and what you have accomplished so far and what your plans are in 2021 for the OMU project?
Okay, certainly. Look, Irving is a Japanese-focused explorer. We're pursuing a little bit unique business model. We're looking for, as you said, high precious metal value silica veins. These are effectively epithermal veins, hot spring veins, that can be used for smelter flux. Okay, we don't anticipate needing to build a mill or, you know, have conventional processing, things like this. So we're really looking at this as an exercise to find rock that is suitable as smelter flux. And we have our flagship project in Hokkaido. It's called OMU, O-M-U. It is along the northern or northeastern coast of Hokkaido. If you look at the island of Hokkaido, which is the northernmost island in Japan, it's kind of a diamond shape. And this this little town, Omu, is situated along the northeast edge of that diamond. Mm-hmm. The project has really three major hot spring systems within the tenement holdings we have. That's how much we've identified to date. We've drilled two of those to date. We're anticipating drilling the third next year, which is really one of our most important targets. It's, you know, this COVID situation has been an exercise in patience. We will get to drilling that third target next year. But in the meantime, we've been drilling at two targets. One is called OMU Center. We actually are drilling there right now. We're just about to wrap up the season here, but we're doing some follow-up drilling on some really good results we've had over the past, say, 12, 14 months like that at OMU Center. And then earlier this year, we drilled at the OMU mine site. The OMU mine site is the site of a historic mine, produced a little bit of ore. Again, it's smelter flux. This is kind of a tradition in Japan, using silica like this is smelter flux. So there was a small amount of ore extracted from this mine site. Now, we are, you know, developing this at a bigger scale, you know, using modern exploration techniques. Mm-hmm. And we are looking at a deeper vein system here. You know, we can see good evidence that there's a much more extensive high-grade vein system underneath Omui. We did a lot of both geophysical work as well as geochemical work to build up the targets on the property. We have some drilling from late last year, including hole 10, which hit just innumerable veins. I can't remember, something like 20-odd veins in one hole. Phenomenal success. There were some very high grades in there. Then earlier this year, we came back and we drilled a new area, which is about 600 meters southeast of the site of that discovery. This area is called Nanko, and we in the first two holes we drilled at Nanko this year, we hit some very nice grades. Now, what I mean by very nice grades, for example, hole three, OMI three, hit a long interval, 14.24 grams of, 14.24 meters, about 3.6 gram gold, 69 gram silver. It's about 4.5 gram gold equivalent. We also hit a lower but high grade zone, about 1.72 meters, 21.7 grams gold, 539 grams silver, which is about 28.8 gram gold equivalent. Mm-hmm. Now, we came back and drilled two more holes in the vicinity of hole three. One was above and one was below. And we wanted to test the volume of rock around hole three to get a better handle on the veins and orientations. And in doing so, we hit just an astounding long interval, about almost nearly 82 meters of running a gram gold and about 31 gram silver. So about 1 gram gold and about 1 ounce per ton silver. Mm-hmm. And that comes to 1.4 gram gold equivalent. Now, most of that was, by the way, siliceous material. It's basically sitting right at surface. It started very shallow. So then the question became, is that in itself a target? Well, we don't know exactly, but, it's high silica material. There are some silica flux mines in Japan operating at these kind of grades, so, it is conceivable. But below that, there were some nice veins as well. For example, 1.6 meters at 7 gram gold and about 102 gram silver, which is about 8.4 gram gold equivalent. A bit lower, we hit some higher silver mineralization. We hit 1.4 meters of 5 gram gold and 169 gram silver. Mm-hmm. It's about 7.3 gram gold equivalent. So we're seeing continuity of the vein system. We're seeing a very big hydrothermal system here. These holes kind of confirm that we've tagged into a very big hot spring system. We've drilled, 4 holes after hole 5 that are in for assay right now, and we'll see where this puts us. But I think we're on to, there's no change in our overall trajectory. We're on to a very big epithermal vein system here with nice precious metal values, ideal silicate contents, and very well suited for smelter flux material.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you recently picked up another project that you're really excited about. It has some rich history to it. I think it's called the Yamagano project. That is, at least you have an option on that. Is that right?
That's correct. We signed a definitive here recently. I think we announced that about 3 or 4 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And we picked it up from the Shimatsu family. The Shimatsu's family goes back in history a long time, like 400 years to the Edo period. They're very famous. They're kind of like the Rockefellers of Japan, if you will. Mm-hmm. And they've held the Yamagano district, which is in... it's on the island of Kyushu, so it's on the polar opposite end of the country from Omu. But we managed to stake some claims right next to it, so consolidated between the ground that we picked up from the Shimatsu's as well as the tenements that we've staked, we control a very, very prospective target. Now, let me put it in context. Yamagano is just a few kilometers, about 11 kilometers southwest of the Hishikari mine. And the Hishikari mine is the most famous gold mine in Japan. It's been operating for, I believe, close to 30 years now. Very high grades. It's produced something like 8 million ounces at a phenomenal grade of average grade of probably over an ounce and a half per ton. it's used, once again, it's primarily used as smelter flux. Okay, so this area, is known to generate very big high grade vein systems. So we're very encouraged by this Yamagano target. We're starting to gear up planning for doing our basic geophysics and geochemistry, et cetera, in early 2021 on the notion that we can advance it towards drill stage fairly quickly. Yamagano did produce significant gold in ancient times, so back about 400 years ago. Yamagano was a site of a gold rush, produced a lot of gold, upwards of 80 tons is what we've been told, so that's about a little over 2.5 million ounces. So I think we're onto an incredible new opportunity, comparable to the Omu target that we have up in Hokkaido.
Wow, that's really exciting, and you're well-financed, I believe. You're going to have to raise any money anytime soon to keep going, or are you?
Nope, we got plenty of cash. We got a little over $10 million. Of course, Newmont and Sumitomo Corporation are both shareholders. We anticipate they will likely want to put in additional funding to fund our 2021 program. This is, if that comes to fruition, then this basically puts Irving on a track of not needing to go back to the market and having this wonderful support from these long-term shareholders. You know, it's a shared vision that we find the next great gold mines in Japan, and everybody's basically working on the same team.
Yeah, I mean, and remind my listeners again, there's only 58 million shares out there. So, if you start finding something of significance, it starts to look mineable and highly economic. I think the share prices could certainly be in for a nice ride higher. What do you think then, Quentin, what should investors be keeping their eyes on? What share price drivers, I guess just more assays, or what should they be watching?
Yeah, we'll have assays from four more holes here from Omui over the next couple of months. Assays are slow to turn around. We're going through Vancouver, and that lab is full of samples at the moment. But we will have assays either by late this year or early next year. The other drivers, we've got our drilling at the Omu Center. We just completed a hole there. It's the first of four holes that we'll be drilling there. So we'll have news around that. We'll basically continue drilling into 2021. COVID is, putting a limit to how much meterage we can get. We have to take certain precautions. It's very limiting to let our drillers come in and out of country. So they'll take a break here for about a month and a half or so, and then hit it hard next year. But we anticipate a long, continuous drill season next year, including testing that third target, which is Hokuryu. And I would, I'd say Yamagano should also generate some very exciting news as we do the initial work there and get it ready for drill readiness by late next year.
Yeah, that Hokuyama, how do you pronounce it? It looks like...
Hokuryu. Yeah, Hokuryu is the third target at Omu. Looks very exciting. In fact, that one is, I think, collectively between us, Newmont, and so forth, I think we all feel that that's one of the highest value targets in the Omu property. And then Yamagano is like the crown jewel of Japan exploration. That one has always been viewed as the highest prospective tenement. And to put it in context, Akiko cut a deal with the Shimantsus after many, many people have tried. I mean, that shows you how remarkable she is. She's an
incredible. Yeah, it's really wonderful. I'm just looking at a slide that you have on your website. It's the Blake sample results, and it looks like it sort of connects there with Omu Center, at least from the Blake samples.
You're talking about the Hokuryu area, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It's you can kind of think of these hot spring systems as all part of the same global system. If you go to Yellowstone Park, and you drive around for a few hours, you'll see hot spring centers all over the place. They're all active right now. Well, that's what this area would have looked like. It would have looked like Yellowstone Park, back about 12 million years ago. Each one of those hot springs has, a good chance of finding high-grade veins below it.
No, it's exciting. Very exciting. Thanks again, Quentin, for joining us and giving us an update on this very exciting story. We'll look to do it again sometime, hopefully.
Thank you, Jay.